We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
I would say the deal with Arizona was a deal that we felt was in the best interest of our team. Capital T, capital E, capital A, capital F.
How do you spell Duke?
Dale Arnold.
Welcome to WrestleMania. WWE looked at everything we got planned and said, nope. This party's too big for just one night.
Oh, no, no, no!
Rich Keith.
We're here at Fenway South.
Culinary gangster.
In the process of making a birthday dinner.
Well, here's the thing. It's the depth of flavor. It's not just the flavor.
Can you believe this?
Dale and Keith with Wiggy.
Wiggy's got a fire drip today.
That's the booty.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Never in my wildest dreams did I envision a world in which Rob Gronkowski would be a WWE champion.
He sure is, and it was smooth. It was entertaining. I mean, the guy's a natural.
I caught the 30-second clip on social media.
That's all you needed.
That's all I really needed.
Pretty much covered it, yeah. So there were like 10 guys down below to catch him. Thank God they did catch him, by the way.
Yeah.
Because he, you know, fell backwards off a balcony. But what about that whole thing about, you know, groups of 10 or more?
No, they threw that out the window.
There's camera guys, there's announcers.
Yeah, there was actually a good amount of people, because I ended up watching it, and maybe that was a mistake, but I ended up watching
it. I watched everything. I watched both nights.
Right. It was a two-night affair, and yeah, you start counting up the people. You're like managers, wrestlers, announcers, cameramen, like still photo guys. You see there were guys holding like still photo cameras?
Yeah.
I was like, all right, you need those guys apparently. There was still security. There was a ring announcer. There was a guy that hit the bell. There was kind of adding up people.
And in that particular, I'm putting up my quotation fingers, match.
Yeah.
There were like 10 guys down below to catch him.
And it, but like quietly, which they don't mention during the show, is that there was like three or four wrestlers that weren't there and because they are in quarantine. Like you see that one match, and not to go too like dorky wrestling, but there was a tag team match. And there's
only
like,
one member of each tag team.
Right. There was like so it was supposed to be three different tag teams during a ladder match, and then it ended up being one individual from each team because one of the main guys has to be quarantined. There was another match that, from what my wrestling friends were telling me, was kind of thrown together. Another one of the tag team matches, like this guy, Angel Garza and Austin Theory, which apparently are not a tag team, but one of the guys that was supposed to be in there was also quarantined, and so he's gone. There was a couple other guys. And then, obviously, Roman Reigns was supposed to be in one of the big matches. He said, I don't want to be involved in it. So, it was still on, but it was definitely bizarre. And without a crowd,
fans. Like I saw a little bit of it on social media as far as, like, just some of the matches that they were doing. And without fans, it looked like really just practice matches.
Because they need a crowd more than baseball, basketball, football, hockey. Which, the fans help in all of them, and it's cool. And, you love to see, like, the hometown crowd get really loud and all that other stuff. But wrestling, they literally feed off of the crowd. There's chants. There's like the bad guys taunt the crowd, etc. So it was just really weird. I guess it's better than nothing for a lot of the wrestling fans out there. It was something.
And to be honest, at least it was something to watch.
It was something new. Right. It was something new that you could watch.
I'm sort of Netflixed out at this point. You know,
it's like Netflix.
So it's probably safe to say there was no real tripping of bad optics with the WWE.
See, I think, I think they did.
Because that's what it seems like. I mean, I haven't at least heard it. You know, with the NFL trying to put on a draft, forget about it. You would think that they were having a giant, you know.
Yeah, there was no Adam Schefter of the wrestling world saying that, like, they really, you know, going nuts. Now,
well, there have been some just in terms of you know, you've got wrestlers who can't even participate, and yet you insist on putting this on. The thing I read a week or so ago is the only reason WrestleMania took place at all was because Vince was the only guy who said, we're doing it. And there was some criticism about the fact that you've got an entire company worth full of quote-unquote athletes, some of whom, you know, said, I really don't want to do this, but, you know, the boss says we have to, so we're going to do it.
I feel like if Dana White was in charge, they'd still be doing it as well. You know, I mean, the UFC is kind of pushing on And I guess my question, and I don't know the answer, but did the WWE get their people tested like the NBA did? Or is it just sort of like...
I don't think so.
Yeah, see, I didn't hear that they did either. So it's kind of more fingers crossed that, right. you know, pick two guys that are in the ring that they're both... Hey, you're not showing symptoms, then you guys must be fine.
You know
even though we know
did?
That's not really the case.
They took their temperature. I mean, literally.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, you're below 100, so get in there.
Yeah.
But I mean, although I don't think it was but it didn't sound like, at least, you know, from when you heard about WrestleMania for the past, you know, 3, 4, 5 days, it didn't seem like there was any, didn't seem like there was a lot of outrage. Like, you think about the outrage that we've been hearing for the NFL draft, which is going to be in a couple weeks. Like, people, Dale was outraged about it. We heard Adam Schefter.
Outraged is way too strong.
All right, maybe not outraged, but, like, bad optics. I heard Glenn Ordway talking about bad optics. But there really wasn't much of that with the WWE.
And I think part of it is because they've been doing shows for like a month without
a crowd. They've been doing
empty
arena shows for a while.
Yeah, so maybe they've sort of, you know, the people that were critical are sort of like, all right, they were mad then, and now it's just every week. Like tonight, they got Monday Night Raw, no crowd. That's just what they've been doing. But yeah, it was not great. I'll be honest.
I think it was not great because wrestling
needs the crowd. They desperately need the crowd.
But let's say the other sports, right? Because the president came out and said that, you know, the NFL season is going to be a go, or at least that's what he said.
I'm not as confident as he is in that.
Well, I'm going to.
And he says a lot of things which ultimately prove to be, untrue.
Well, we're going to open up the country on Easter.
But I'm going to believe this one. I'm going to hold hope on this one. Sure. The Easter one, I kind of felt like he was just, you know, throwing up a Hail Mary there.
Yeah, I would say so.
But with the, you know, with the wrestling and them doing it, and, you know, there wasn't a ton of outrage, maybe this then leads it to be like, oh, okay, maybe other sports will go, all right, we can play sports, and it doesn't...
Well, what they really need to make sure happens is in the next 2 weeks, we don't get Goldberg tested positive, or like you
or
can't...
the guys that were there.
Somebody
wrestling.
In the locker room got
right.
it.
Like, I'll give
you can't do it.
And I'll give you an example, a real-world example. One of the big stories nationally over the last few days has been this Captain Crozier, who was the captain of this aircraft carrier who got relieved of his duties, and you know, there's video of the men on the ship, men and women on the ship, all chanting his name as he goes down the walkway and gets in the car and drives off. He's got COVID-19.
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden today we learn, by the way, he tested positive too. And to your point, Rich, whether it's Goldberg or whoever, Natalia, anybody, if all of a sudden we read, you know what, he's or she has got now... then all of a sudden the criticism is going to become ramped up by a lot.
And I think then that's when the other sports leagues also kind of look at it and say, man, like you think you have it contained. Now, I guess they could. The big difference could be, well, in the NBA, for some reason, they're sitting on all the tests and they're all tested.
Right.
And if the NBA comes back and everybody involved is clear of it, that's a little bit different. You know, then I guess they can play.
To Wiggy's point, Saturday the president held a conference call with the commissioners of all the leagues and other sports as well, NASCAR and the PGA Tour. And there was this giant conference call with the president in which, you know, he, as he said publicly, would like to see sports get back up there. It, you know, shows something confident for the people. But as Michael McCann pointed out, there was one little issue. There wasn't a single representative from a players association involved in that conference call.
Nope.
You know, you got Gary Bettman, but you don't have, you know, the head of the NHLPA who says, our guys have got some questions. It's just, you know, here, everybody, we got to get going here. And then the players, well, do you want to go or do you not want to go?
Right. You have all these guys that can just really do their jobs essentially from an isolated room and be like, yeah, you're playing. Everybody's getting on the court.
You think about like some of the players, right? And I know that they were, I think I saw somewhere online where the NBA, right, where the owners wanted initially 50% of a pay reduction, but the players wanted 25%. So don't you think that maybe the players, if they know, okay, I can get back to playing and I'm going to be able to get my full salary for it, I think a lot of guys would be willing to say, all right, if you can test me, if we can do this, whatever type of maybe guidelines there are that protect me a little bit, that they would probably want to get back to work and, you know, be able to get some of that money that they're losing like a lot of people.
The other part of this, and look, everybody's trying to be as creative as they can be right now there are multiple reports out there that the National Hockey League, and in conjunction with the NHLPA, is looking into neutral locations to complete this season, which, you know, would have ended Saturday night, would have been the last day of the regular season. Playoffs would have been starting this coming Wednesday, 2 days from now. So what they're talking about is, could we take the playoffs to a neutral site? One of the things they're looking at is the Engelstad Arena in Grand Forks, North Dakota, which is where the North Dakota Fighting Hawks play. Supposedly, it's this, you know, Taj Mahal of arenas, you know, the best non-NHL arena in the country, probably better than some NHL arenas. My buddy John Shannon from Rogers Sportsnet said another place that they're looking at as a possible neutral site for Stanley Cup playoffs is Manchester, New Hampshire.
Get up there. Wow. Yeah, the Queen City. Why not?
Hey, so they're actually looking.
They got a nice rink up there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it's the
nice.
Verizon Center.
And they're actually looking at, you know, we can't go play in New York. If the Rangers are in the playoffs, we can't put that kind of strain on the resources for New York City with what they're going through. So what if we just took the playoffs to some neutral site somewhere?
And that, I would assume, that would be empty teams? Arena anyway, right?
Yes, they would take all teams.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I think the best thing to do now, the way things have gone, because like 2 weeks ago, my opinion was, all right, if you could find a way to sort of, you know, either shorten the regular season but get some of those games going. Mm-hmm. Now I think you have to get rid of that because you're probably talking about going to different locations and you're probably talking about really trying to keep a smaller group of people to be involved.
Right.
So just jump to the playoff teams because you immediately cut out half the teams.
Right, right.
So if your team's not a top eight in either conference, in the NHL or the NBA, you're done. You can stay home with your families. You're done.
Right.
So now it's just less people at risk, and that's probably what they're going to have to do, is dive into the playoffs.
And you got to ask this question, right? Here it is where we stand today, April 6th. And I know New York's supposed to hit their peak sometime this week, and we're supposed to hit ours next week. You got to ask, let's call it 2 months, 2.5 months, mid-June. Shouldn't we be at a better place where they can at least – whether there might not be fans in the arena, but they can house, like you said, all the playoff teams in a specific location. You know, by that time, the numbers will have come down. The people that will then be working at, let's say, the hotels and the food places in that mm-hmm. area to be able to feed and house these players.
They're not going to be ready in June. I mean, when you say the peak, what they're talking about is it's not like, okay, we've hit the worst. Now we're good. Now we're on the downslope. It takes a while. And they will not be ready in June. In the most optimistic NHL experience that I've read about is, you know, you kind of do a bit of a training camp because you got to start over again mm-hmm. in July. You do the playoff. You jump right into the playoffs in August and September. You take the month of October off, and then you start the new season in November. And everything I've seen, it looks like August is now beginning to be about as soon as you can play.
Then let's call it August. I mean, you look mm-hmm. at it, let's call it August. And then will those people, let's say, will we be in a position where maybe you'll be able to have some fans come August?
No. Everything I've read is that...
So then everything's still shut down in August.
You're going to start in empty arenas and empty stadiums. In all of the sports that, if Major League Baseball returns, they're not going to open the spigot and say, okay, 30,000 into Fenway, here we go. You're going to start the games initially, NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, Major League Baseball, probably in empty arenas and stadiums. It's just, it's... the facts.
I mean, a lot of it's going to come down to testing, right? Like how readily available the testing is,
gonna be.
Right? So not just for the players, but can people. You know fans, just regular people,
right.
And like as you start to get back to work, are you going to be able to do that? But then also, and I think it was the I can't find the quote, but the guy in charge of the NFL, the health part of the NFL, mm-hmm. is saying how, well, if you're going to have to quarantine people every time they test positive for 14 days, and then people that were close to them for 14 mm-hmm. days, as long as that is still what's going on, kind of impossible to open up a stadium, right? Because just the chain, like one person's in there, well, you get in touch with this person, that person, everything else.
So do you think it becomes then at nothing's open? Or are the restaurant businesses then open? Are
so
they
I think,
still
I th- well, again, this is a guess, but I would think places like that would be able to open up to people before gatherings of like thousands. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, so if you have a restaurant that seats 25, my guess is that's going to open up a lot sooner than Fenway Park is.
Right.
Just the way things have been going.
By the way, within minutes, the British Open just got canceled. And this was scheduled to be played in July. So literally 7 minutes ago, the Royal and Ancient has decided they will cancel the British Open, or as they call it, the Open. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So yet another sporting event, and this one in July, they've said, no, we can't do this.
All right, I found the quote. So Dr. Alan Sills, who is the NFL's yep. chief medical officer, we've talked about him last week as well. So he talked to NFL.com, and he said, quote, as long as we're still in a place where when a single individual tests positive for the virus, you have to quarantine every single person who was in contact with them in any shape, form, or fashion, then I don't think you can begin to think about reopening a team sport, because we're going to have positive cases for a very long time. And so that part, and even the California governor, in response to what President Trump said to mm-hmm. all of the commissioners, like, yeah, August, September, we should be good to go. And then the California governor's like, well, not in this state.
But doesn't that,
and they have four teams.
But doesn't that then make it impossible to even send them to a neutral location? Because now they'll be coming in contact with people at the hotels that they're staying at.
So I agree with you. I think that is going to be difficult. Because now, I've never understood that. And that was an early theory, too, was, well, there are certain places that aren't infected. So let's take a bunch of people that were in areas mm. where there was a high count and put them there. And right. then that'll be fine. It's like, well... So now those people were feeling somewhat safe, and now they're like, right. why is this happening?
I think it's going to be a while. Now, there are those, I'm not among them, there are those who say, shut everything down. Shut the sports down. Forget the NBA season. Forget the NHL season. Forget Major League Baseball. Best case scenario is you're ready to go again in September, but between now and then, you just shut it all down.
So what I really hope, though, is that you get a NBA and NHL champion this year, even if it means next season's abbreviated.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? Because if the options are, all right, shut this season down, but we're going to be good to go in 2021. No, I'd rather have even a half season in 2021 or like a short, not maybe not half, but right. like a 60-game season in 2021. So at least you get two champions.
Right.
And especially as a Bruins fan, you're saying they need to play in the playoffs this year. Their team's good. If you're a fan of... you know, some crap
the Buffalo
team,
Sabres.
Then fine.
Or
you're like, yeah, do whatever you want. It doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. But for those top tiers teams, you know, Lakers, Clippers, Bucks, even the Celtics, like they don't want to miss a
well,
postseason.
Then if you're going to do that, it just, to me, because we're, what, 4 months out, it would still sounds like, you know, mind-blowing to me that by August 1st, we won't be in a far better place than we are today. I mean, if there's a new report that's coming out from the University of Washington that's saying that the numbers aren't going to be as great as that, greater as everybody kind of expected them to be, you're telling me by August 1st we're not going to be in a better...
But you're kind of seizing on one report that,
well, yeah,
quite honestly, is kind of different from most reports out
well,
there.
Well, I'm just going based off of the one report that's
I know,
on
the one report, but most of the other reports say, no, we're a long ways away.
Well, it's just the one from the, what's that, the Institution for Health and that one there measures. I mean, I'm just going off of what, mm-hmm. you know, there's a million
Let's
reports.
Take whatever positive thing you get.
Right, see, I don't like, so what report is correct? Your report, my report, or do you just kind of grab the information?
Neither.
Right, so I'm just taking information. I know the bad. Well, here's what they're saying about the good, and then it's like, now we got to be somewhere in the middle. And I'm guessing, or you know, I'm just kind of sitting here looking and going, wait a second. By August 1st, which is what, 4 months away from where we are now,
mm-hmm.
you're telling me that we won't be in a better position? I guess that's the question I'm asking.
Better?
I'm no
yes.
doctor.
No, we no definitely better. Should be. Absolutely, it'll be better.
Far better.
But will it? Well. I'm not sure it's going to be far better. I hope so. I sincerely hope so. But ready to open up stadiums and let 30,000 people come into Fenway? Not a chance.
I don't know about, you know, if they're going to say full capacity. Maybe they are like, you know what, we could do half capacity. I don't know what it could be. All I know is when you look at this stuff and you look at some of these models and you look at places like Italy where everybody said that they how bad they were hit. Now they're on like kind of like the downslide. What's going to be... You know, so if we're similar to them, we're talking 4 months away. I just don't see them going, you know, there's no way we'll be ready to do anything come August 1st. If the NBA and the NHL are saying, okay, we could do an August and September.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it kind of looks, I would think it would look good to me, but I'm no expert.
No. Hey, there's a caveat.
Yes.
We should have one recorded for every single host on the station.
I'm no expert.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Listen, with what we do for a living, needless to say, we desperately want sports back. I'm as Rich said, you know, I cover a hockey team that most people think has a legitimate chance of winning a Stanley Cup this year. You know, we desperately want to see NBA playoffs. A lot of people desperately want to see Major League Baseball back. Mm. I just don't know what it's going to look like. And at least for a little while, it might not look like what we're used to. We'll see what you guys think, though, at 617-779-7937. There was a long-form piece on ESPN written by Ian O'Connor about the pursuit of Tom Brady by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It really is more an opus about Jason Light, the general manager of the Buccaneers, but there's a lot of Brady stuff in there, needless to say, including the fact that a source said he was Belichicked out. Ian O'Connor will join us at noon to talk about his piece. We'll get to the calls with you in just a couple of minutes. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, and it's time to trend.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back to Dale and Keefe with Wiggy.
I said the lights get too bright, the booty holes get too tight.
On WEEI.
That's what it is. Rob Gronkowski's up on the perch. Don't do it, Gronk!
Oh, my God! Gronk took out everyone. Wait a minute. Gronk is covering Mojo. Gronk is the 24/7 champion.
Rob Gronkowski just pinned his best friend Mojo to win the 24/7 title.
Big moment last night when Rob Gronkowski won the WWE 24/7 title. Now, I can also tell you that, you know, the list of people who have held this title is not necessarily a who's who of wrestling heavyweights.
No, it's like all of them, right?
Enos Kanter has held it.
That's right. Oh, wow. Celtic's great. Enos Kanter one-time 24/7 champion.
Yeah.
It's like a comedy element. Like,
right.
What it is that there's no, like, scheduled matches.
Right.
And so you can just run up, knock a guy out. As long as there's a ref there to count it, you could do it in the parking lot. You could do it, like, this was sort of not in the ring.
You can do it in a hotel lobby. I mean, it doesn't
matter.
But
honestly, kind of smart, though, to if you're going to sign Gronk to the WWE, to use him this way, because he doesn't have to do a full match, and it's just sort of like a comedy element anyway. So you throw him in there, maybe he does a move or two, and he can sort of build upon it. So
I don't know. I suggest maybe the way you don't want to use him is as the host of WrestleMania.
Well, too late.
Setting up this opening monologue.
Welcome to WrestleMania. Many of you know me as Rob Gronkowski, three-time Super Bowl champion football player. But tonight, I'm here as Gronk, your WrestleMania host with the most. And it gives me great pleasure to welcome you the first ever night one of WrestleMania. Because this year, WWE looked at everything we got planned and said, nope, this party's too big for just one night. We need two nights for this action-packed, title-stacked beast, and we need your boy, Gronk, to host it. And I promise you this, they picked the right man for the job, because I know how to start a party on a Saturday night and end it 30 hours later. So sit back, crack open a beverage, forget everything going on in the world right now, and let WWE entertain you for the next two incredible nights. But right now, I need my good friend, Mojo Rawley, to join me. Oh, yeah.
What's up, Mojo? What's up?
Yeah, you cut that part.
Baby? Yeah, we
hey, you might know me as Rob Gronkowski,
right.
But tonight, I'm Gronk. No,
see,
we all know you as Gronk. Everybody knows you as Gronk. Was like this new character that you're playing?
The problem that people have with Gronkowski, it's simple, right? Don't give him a teleprompter. If you are, don't have it what you want him to say. Just say, hey, listen, improvise for the next minute and a half and then stop the
And
clock.
You know what he was doing is he was wearing sunglasses inside so you couldn't see his eyes reading the cue cards. But that's what was happening. But I was like, where is he going with this? Like, hey, you might know me as Rob Gronkowski.
But tonight I'm here as Gronk.
Oh, look out. Oh, it's a new guy, a brand new persona.
Yeah.
And he's wearing Gronk Mania gear, which you can buy. It was like, was that tiger print? Sort of maybe an homage to Tiger
wasn't
King.
It blue?
It was blue, right. But he could still be
blue
the print.
And black.
Okay.
It was not great. It was very awkward.
Because they're trying to get him to.
Here's Mojo Rowley.
To read
click.
Off the teleprompter. And
it's not good.
Just let him just say, hey, listen, introduce yourself.
Right.
And then you got a minute and a half and then close it out with, we're going to have a great night.
You're kind of, to be fair to Gronk, you are kind of set up to fail.
Right.
Because the idea of a host for WrestleMania, it's not the freaking Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
It's WrestleMania.
Right.
You don't need a host. You have announcers there to tell you what the next match is. So right away, you're kind of screwed. Now there's no crowd.
No.
So you're just standing there by yourself with a mic kind of screaming about, hey, it's too nice.
And there's no reaction coming back.
There's no reaction. There's no cheer. There's nothing there. And then you're stuck with your buddy who stinks, and you bring him out, and everyone's like, what is he doing there? And he's wearing like a sport coat for some reason. I don't know what the hell is going on there. But that was a tough start to WrestleMania.
Here's the other thing too is, you know, it was all pre-taped. Everything was pre-taped, virtually everything, including Gronk. And you still ran a minute and 22-second package in which he mispronounces about 8 different words.
Well, that's probably the best take they had, Dale.
Beverages. And it's like so
that well, was that's because he's reading.
Brock, let's take another take here. Come on, let's do this again.
No, it's good enough.
Right, that's because he's trying to read that, right?
Yeah.
You know, don't have him read it and he won't. Just let him improvise and let him say what he
but
has
also,
to say.
But also, you don't want
to
cut it up too much. So you have to shoot it from the beginning to the end, and you can't just jump in there and switch it out. So that was probably the best take they had.
I don't think that Gronk is going to be a wrestler. I've never thought he was going to be a wrestler, despite the fact that he won the 24/7 title.
Yeah, yes, he's a champ. Defend that title.
He's a wrestler now.
Man for the job.
Yeah,
but as you pointed out, it's really a comedy sort of thing. People own, you know, they hold it for a day, and you know, he'll probably lose it on Raw tonight.
Oh, 100%.
So if I,
that's 100%.
If I saw Gronk, right, if he came in,
you could pin him.
As long as there's a referee.
Okay. Yes.
You got to have a referee.
Okay.
So we got to get.
Does it have to be an official WWE referee?
Yeah, what if I'm just wearing the stripes? I can count it.
Or you could be, what if you're just there? Is it just a witness referee?
You make it sound like there are real rules here. I mean, come on.
Well, they got to have something in place. So if Gronk ever came back in studio to give Greg Hill a massage, like he's done before.
Which was a little creepy.
And then Wiggy hits him with the chair, and then I count the three. Now Wiggy's the 24/7 champ, I believe.
What? That's what I'm wondering.
Makes sense.
Oh, you feel that?
Oh, yeah, that's it, Gronk.
So then I become a
wrestler. Be the champ.
Yeah, I'd be a wrestler.
And then Enes Kanter would show up, and he'd probably want a pin. He's like, the title's back in Boston.
Or whoever. Maybe Shime. Shime
would get
John,
in there.
It doesn't matter who it is.
I'd probably dish out like an RKO some sort.
Out of nowhere.
We know that the power brokers in the WWE, besides Vince, are Paul Levesque and his wife, Stephanie McMahon. We understand that. Paul Levesque is Triple H, by the way.
I was like, who the hell is Paul Levesque?
They are.
National Zone?
Well, yeah, he's from New Hampshire. They are huge Patriots fans, both of them. So it just seems like Levesque and Stephanie are drawn to Gronk because of who he is as a football player. And I almost picture them now going, all right, now what do we do with him? All right, we got him. We signed him. We brought him in. Now what?
Yeah, I mean,
I think they're probably like, well, when the crowds are here, it'll be better, right?
Yeah. I think it's more of a Vince signing because Vince more likes the famous people, and not that Triple H doesn't like Gronk, but you've seen sort of what Triple H does. Like, he likes wrestlers, and that's why like NXT is so good in developing story and like actual wrestlers. Whereas I think Vince is just so caught up in who's famous. Like, you can go through the list of WrestleMania participants who are just like pop culture people, and then when you have one who happens to also like wrestling, it's even easier. Like, if somebody famous likes wrestling,
right,
chances are they're going to be on at some point.
But do you
and
think
he's been a huge fan for a long time?
Oh yeah, of course.
He's been at events. He's been at in
he was
Providence,
in WrestleMania
Boston.
Before.
You know, you think it's like a one or two off with him? It's like,
yeah, I don't think there's a lot of matches. I mean, I think
maybe not matches, but him being. You know, him just being present in the wrestling world, right? Because if you're going to...
I think that's all that he's going to do. Just be there, you know? Be Well, that's
why I wonder how long he's going to stay attached to this 24/7 belt, because is this going to
tonight?
Yeah, but if Mojo's the one that beats him, they probably develop a feud right away, and then maybe those guys have a match, and he feels comfortable with his buddy.
But I bet you Mojo doesn't beat him. I bet you they let Gronk hold on to.
Well,
this
he beat Mojo last night, so
no. I bet you if with this belt here and you're trying to build Gronk, if that's the direction
I think
they're
you build
going,
a feud. So what I think is Mojo's going to beat him, and then somebody else, probably R-Truth, because he's had it like the whole time, will beat Mojo, and then he'll take it and go somewhere else. And then Gronk will be like, I thought we were boys. And Mojo's, I thought you were boys. And then they'll end up having a match.
But
his first match will be against
they
Mojo.
They could still do that with him beating Mojo and just allow him to hold the belt. And then he beats the next guy. And so it almost becomes like, man, who's going to take this belt from Gronk?
Honestly, and not that ESPN has a ton of things to cover, just like everybody else. But one of their top headlines on their website is Gronk adds WWE 24/7 champion to resume. So the point being, the WWE loves, like, we think it's awkward, and it is awkward, and like, what the hell are you doing with Gronk? But more people, I guess, are talking about the WWE because of Gronk's involvement than maybe would have been otherwise.
Which is all they want, right?
Yeah, 100%. That was probably already worth the signing right there, just to have people talking about it, just for ESPN to mention it, just for them to write about it. I'm sure SportsCenter's been interviewing different wrestlers.
But outside of New England, right, where we all know Gronk and everything, I wonder how many people look at it and go, oh, he was bad, or they looked at it and go, oh, he was entertaining. Like, that didn't really know the Gronk that we know.
Yeah, I bet if you're like 13 and under, you probably thought it was entertaining. And if you were older than that, you're like, this is
but if you're
awkward.
A wrestling fan and you're not.
Chances are you're 10.
I thought there were a lot of adult wrestling fans.
No, there are. There definitely is.
But if you're a wrestling adult fan and you don't live in New England, Do you what do you think the percentages of people that found that entertaining? I'm willing to bet you, if you're a wrestling fan, probably people found that entertaining. The same way they did with Ronda Rousey, right? Wasn't she like a?
But she could actually wrestle.
But she couldn't speak a lick.
No, she couldn't speak. She was not good on the mic, and people gave her a hard time for that. But then when it came time to the actual match, she was great. She was as good as any of them. And Gronk's not going to have that. Clearly.
No, but I think maybe Gronk's probably a better speaker than her.
No, he's not.
It's probably close.
Yeah?
No, she was better.
She was better.
At least he had like some type of personality.
Ricky, did you hear what we just played a minute ago?
No, but I think that's like where where they wanted him to read some. I think if you let him improvise, because a lot of those wrestlers, they kind of improvise and do a lot of that stuff off the cuff. And if you allowed him to do that, and you maybe allow Gronk to do that, he doesn't feel like he has to be so scripted.
Yeah, couldn't hurt.
You know, because
I don't think that ad-libbing is his strong suit either.
But I would say ad-libbing is stronger than reading off a teleprompter for him.
Yeah, that's got to be pretty low on the list.
There were parts of the two-day WrestleMania weekend, and I did watch both nights because what else was there? There were parts that I liked a lot and I thought were very entertaining. There were other parts that just seemed awkward and weird. And
I felt bad for some of them. There was a few matches that if you just placed a crowd in would have been great.
Yeah.
So I feel bad for those guys. Like there are some big spots and some
wrestling
crazy stuff.
Wrestling can't
but
work
like, nah,
without
it
a crowd.
My wife looked up at one point and she said, do they like yell and moan and stuff? I said, I think they do. You just don't hear it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they do.
Like the UFC, you know, boxing, those sports can get away with having matches and not crowds.
But definitely.
Wrestling needs a crowd because of the way wrestlers play off the crowd.
100%.
You just can't. It look like when I saw it, I think I saw like Brock Lesnar, and who was the guy he was fighting?
Drew McIntyre.
It just seemed, you could hear like Paul Heyman yelling in the background.
It's so weird.
That would have been a match that would have benefited greatly by having a crowd.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the whole thing about McIntyre finally ascending to the championship, and, you know, it just fell flat. The one of the whole weekend, the thing I enjoyed the most was the end of Saturday night.
Really?
I thought it was great.
It's horrible.
I thought it was great.
Talking about the Boneyard match?
The mini movie that they put together.
The mini B-level movie.
Yeah.
That was horrible. So they did Undertaker and AJ Styles.
Okay.
And so they should have done, they did a couple of these matches where it was all filmed on a location where there wouldn't have been a crowd involved anyway.
Right.
So
it
was a perfect time to do it.
Right, right.
But so basically they called it a Boneyard match. I guess it used to be like a graveyard match, but now it's like a Boneyard match. So they fought outside and then
like put whoever, somebody in the casket.
Somebody had to get buried in the whole thing. Okay. And it was just, it wasn't for me. But those are the kind of ones you got to take a chance with stuff like that,
right?
Because otherwise, if you did that type of match,
it was the only WrestleMania you could do it was this one, probably.
Yeah, and the same thing with the next night, the Firefly Funhouse match. It was John Cena and Bray Wyatt.
Now, see, I didn't like that one as much.
So I liked it.
Yeah,
because that one was just all editing, and it was like taking him through, and it was all like a mind game, mm-hmm. right? And so it was like going back to all the different characters that they played, and it was a whole thing. It was all produced, like, but again, in front of a live crowd, you couldn't do it.
Right.
So at least they took chances that way. But yeah, I don't know. And I don't know when they're ever, because they're going business as usual, but I don't know when they're going to get fans back. I mean, it's the same question we're asking for all the other sports. So this might be for a long, like,
if you're saying, you know, we don't
the
know.
Fall. I mean, that's a long time. I mean,
yeah. And what is it, twice a week? Three times.
They got Raw, NXT, and SmackDown, and then they have like a monthly pay per view. So, I mean, that's a long time.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the calls with you guys. 617-779-7937. Ian O'Connor will join us at noon today and talk about the long-form ESPN.com piece that he wrote about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers' pursuit of Tom Brady that Jason Light undertook and didn't think he was going to get. He was convinced up until, you know, really the phone call with Brady and Arians and himself that Brady was just going to change his mind and cave and, like Andy Hart said, give up and go back to the Patriots. But we'll talk to Ian O'Connor about that. We'll get to your calls coming up next. Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
It's Dale and Keefe with Jermaine Wiggins.
Stand by.
On WEEI.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. I heard the Awaken 180 commercial this morning, and my guess is, Wiggy, you're going to be ready to compete with Gronk in the WWE here within just a few weeks.
No. It might be a little bit longer than that. I don't know if I can.
No, I heard you were doing great.
Yeah, I don't know if I can jump off that's the one thing. I'm afraid of heights, so jumping off a...
Yeah, no, you want more of a ground wrestler.
Yeah, more of a ground wrestler.
Yeah. Ground game, yeah.
Yeah, it would that's be more like Bret the Hitman.
Yeah.
Tactician.
a lot of technique.
Okay. Let's get to the calls with you guys. 617-779-7937. Vinny is in South Boston. Hey, Vinny.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
How are you?
I just had a little idea. Maybe without the crowd, they could WWF or E, they could maybe throw like a dome, like a green screen dome, and have them make it look like they're off-planet, off-world wrestling. You know what I mean? It's different.
Yeah, they got to try whatever they can. They got to do all kinds of different stuff. Well, and that's why each night during WrestleMania, they had one, like, completely edited, mm-hmm. no crowd match.
But I don't even think it matters, even if you green screen the crowd in there.
No, you need, like, the real reactions.
Because the wrestlers are so crowd-dependent, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing about wrestling. When you think about wrestling, they're so crowd-dependent, and if you don't have that, imagine... You know,
we wondered last week, Wiggy, if they would pump in crowd noise or something. They didn't.
They did not.
No.
And it was
weird.
But
even then, though, it would be like, imagine doing a radio show by yourself and trying to argue.
Just by yourself.
Yeah,
solo,
it just all the time. It don't work. And I think I saw you put this on social media, and you made a really great point, right?
Thank you.
It would be like watching a movie without a score.
Oh, yeah, and the special effects. And that's what I said, because it's like not the finished product. Like, you can still watch it. It's still there. It's like the guys wrestling. It'd be like watching, like, you know, a movie.
It'd be watching the Avengers, but you would see them with the dots instead of the actual finished product.
And there'd be no, like, you don't realize how much you need a score until you take it out. Right. Like, there's no music, right. There's no, like, transitions between shots. Like, that's kind of what you were missing over the weekend. And again, I know what the argument is, better than nothing. And that's probably true. Like, nobody's making you watch it,
right.
So it's better than nothing. And if wrestling fans are still enjoying it, then good. But man, it is.
Wait a second,
not for me.
That's Thanos. Why does he get the giant stick
Josh
on his
Brolin.
Back?
By the way, and you know, we've been talking about when sports will come back and what they'll look like and things like that. As we mentioned, the British Open has been canceled. Golf Digest is reporting the PGA Tour will begin in mid-June. With no fans, they'll start at the Memorial. The PGA Championship is still scheduled to be August 6th. The Ryder Cup, September 25th. The U.S. Open in September. Masters now in November. Mm-hmm. But the PGA Tour plans to resume mid-June with no fans at the Memorial.
All I care about is football, college, and the NFL. No.
But the thing here, though, is you need these other sports who are, you know, first in the line to say, okay, we can do this, because then the sports you care about may feel that they can do it.
Well, I'll watch golf in June if that's what
I'm
it comes to.
Golf,
no. Well, you're going to learn to love it. Right, that's the only thing on.
I believe they'll be able to do. I just, you know, this is just maybe me looking at 4 months away from where we are right now, April, you know, 6th, and saying, okay, whether it's basketball, whether they decide to say, hey, we're gonna do the playoffs. I just feel like that's so far off, and we will be much better then than we are now. And sure, I think we'll be able, think about all the people that will get tested, and they'll build up the immunity for it. And maybe it might not be, hey, full capacity. They might say, look, we're only going to let 10,000 fans in, or 5,000 or whatever it is. But I think we'll see sports with fans by August.
What do you think of the idea that the NBA is kicking around about a horse competition?
Yeah, I saw that.
No thanks. Yeah.
Again, we go back to the whole idea of, well, at least it's something to watch, like WrestleMania was this weekend.
I don't know. But I would rather watch WrestleMania, I think, than horse.
Yeah.
I think I would. Oh, but no. Again, they're not. None of them are good.
Do something, right?
Would you want to see a dunk contest right now?
I would watch a dunk contest, yeah. If you got, or, well, you got to tell me who's in it, but the best guys, I'd watch it.
Yeah, I think I would watch. I might watch.
But then that's like 15 minutes. You know what I mean? Right. Like, that's not a lot. That's not a long time.
It's not much. I guess if it's horse, if it's like LeBron, you know.
No, you need Larry Bird and Michael Jordan from the old
then
commercials.
Then I'd watch it, yeah.
Shooting from the raftback board.
LeBron, Giannis doing like, you know, crazy dunks or something like that.
Again, better than nothing, but I think I would rather just go look for like a movie I haven't seen than watch.
Well, I would find interesting? The ones that have tested, you know, because there's so many.
The whole league is fine.
I would love to see them do what the Big Three does, you know. Maybe they play the Big Three, you know, the Ice Cube League.
Yeah.
A little 3-on-3. That'd be pretty cool.
I don't know, because they talked about even just getting like a game for charity. And again, I'm not going to knock that if they're able to raise good money. But if it's an all-star game, but not even the all-star game. It's just like a bunch of players playing. It's almost like a celebrity game.
But
like, I don't have any interest in that.
But I want you to be serious about it.
But I want, see, and I don't
see,
know.
See, that's
if you
the
could.
Problem though, Wiggy. They don't want to take. Can you imagine LeBron James blows out his knee in a 3-on-3 game?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I mean, it would scare them to death. Well, horse, you're not going to, you can't get hurt.
Yeah, horse, that's on you. If you get hurt playing horse, maybe you got to rethink
some
things.
Think about this, right? And you'll see a lot of these videos on social media, and I think it's like an LA Fitness or a Lifetime Fitness in LA, where those guys are always playing pickup basketball. LeBron,
KD.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
So maybe, you know, maybe it's just in their nature that they get competitive if it's a 3-on-3. So say,
I'm sure they would.
So say if you had LeBron.
But, like, what's your rooting, like, if they're just jumbling up the teams? Like, I'm a Celtics fan, so I want to watch the Celtics. Well, if it's not the Celtics, I'm
just
like, want to right.
see, like, the, I just want to see them play basketball.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, the Big Three, if you ever see, have you ever watched the Big Three?
Yeah, I did. It wasn't really for me. They're all guys that retired from the league.
Right, but if it was guys that you
knew. That are currently playing.
That you were playing, that you knew and said, hey, we're going to put them all in a pot. And we're gonna,
I guess, and you could bet on it, so that's helpful.
Oh, there, Shime's in there.
Yep. I mean, you need
stuff
to bet on.
You could have LeBron and Giannis on the same team.
You could.
Yeah. Going against Kawhi and Anthony Davis.
But it's almost like, all right, if you get to that point, like you say you're opening it up to 3-on-3.
Right.
Well, then why not just do the 5-on-5? Nope. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're that close to just playing real games again. Like, I don't need like this giant 3-on-3 tournament.
See,
like,
that's why.
Why would that be okay, but 5-on-5 with real teams, no crowd, you know, why can't you do that?
I think you could, and yeah. I think you could start training camp in June and have them playing 5-on-5 July.
The problem is with the NBA.
Get back to play NBA
playoffs. I think it would be tough to pull off if there still isn't like available testing everywhere, and we're sitting there watching the NBA, and they're like, well, all these guys get tested whenever they want, and they're all
but
fine.
How much of and I know, you know, I'm asking this question. How much of America really goes, well, you know what? I can't believe all these NBA players are getting tested. And
I know, but I think when they're playing, if they're playing and it's like they have, like, these guys have been tested, but oh, by the way, you know, we have more tests just in case, you know, somebody's not feeling well or whatever, and we're going to run them through. Like, you're not going to take a test away from somebody that needs it just watch empty arena basketball.
No, if you need it, that's one thing. But what I'm saying is, if you say, okay, we can get these guys tested, and we can have sports to you.
Yes.
I think a lot of America would go, wouldn't be upset that these guys were getting tested because of, you know, them being the athletes.
Yeah, no, that, I mean,
I think they'd be happy with the sports
being back. That part of it you understand.
Back.
Yeah, and you'd want them back. But then if you find out that there are all these, like, people that have all these symptoms and they can't get tests.
But where's that now then? You know, all these NBA plays, I don't see the frustration now.
So I think there has been. I think people were pissed about it.
But it's not.
I do.
But yeah. It's not been big, though.
There was a whole article.
Cuomo was upset about it.
SI.com did a whole thing about how, in this case, the NHL got it right and the NBA didn't. The NHL didn't test anybody who didn't show symptoms. The NBA tested everybody and lost the public relations war because people were saying, wait a minute, sick people who need tests can't get them? But 52 members of the Sacramento Kings can all get tested?
Yeah, I think Governor Cuomo even said something about the Nets. Because remember, the Nets all got tested.
He might have said it. But if you think about this time period that we've been on from, you know, from like, let's say
a
when.
Month ago.
Yeah, from when guys started to really get. The outrage hasn't been crazy of NBA players getting tested. And when you're just talking about in the landscape.
Well, the outrage this weekend was Tigers can apparently get tested.
Well, no. But what I'm saying as far as like in the sports world that we live in, it hasn't been like the outrage for the draft and bad optics. I haven't heard as much.
I think people were pissed.
Yeah, well,
I
didn't see that.
It's been a few weeks because that was when all the Jazz and all the Thunder got tested.
I think we said it like, really? All these NBA players getting tested? What do they got that we don't know about?
People were pissed.
We must be reading different articles. I ain't really seen it like that.
That might
Tom's
be
in Connecticut. Hey, Tom.
Tom.
Hello, Tom.
Hey, Tom. Yo.
What's happening?
What's up?
Hey, so, yeah, I just wanted to weigh in on...
Can you put your top up in your convertible?
It's a nice thing.
Say what?
Can you put the top up on your convertible?
Yeah, hold on a second. I'm going to take you off Bluetooth.
Oh, that'd be the best. That'd be the best.
That and turn the radio down.
Yeah, that also. I'm getting a little bit of feedback here. But I feel confident that this is going to be a great point, so it's all going to be worth it. Tom, what do you have? Not there. Unbelievable.
Wow.
So he went from Bluetooth to just off altogether.
Why do people insist on putting themselves on Bluetooth after I've spoken to them? I don't understand this.
Where is he going, by the way?
Because in some places, he's in Connecticut. He's not supposed to talk on the phone.
Is he an essential worker?
Massachusetts?
No. In Connecticut, it's illegal. You have to be hands-free.
Yeah, so is
Massachusetts now, too.
He did not sound hands-free when I spoke with him.
Yeah, he decided to go for a joyride after he called. Where's he going?
Well, maybe.
I'm curious where he's going. Grocery store, probably.
Well, maybe when you picked up, he was holding it. Then when you said, all right, I'm going to put you on hold.
Yeah, he's like,
then
all right, screw these guys. I'm going
to
Bluetooth.
Then he goes to, let me put it on Bluetooth.
Yep.
And then, boom, you come back, and he's caught off guard.
Right. And then I'll be like, hey, I'll take you off Bluetooth, and I'll hang up.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. An hour from now, we'll talk to Ian O'Connor from ESPN, who wrote about the Buccaneers' pursuit of Tom Brady. We've got some other things we'll talk about, including, in my opinion, one of the best Hall of Fame classes that the NBA has ever had. I know it's the Basketball Hall of Fame, and there are other members in there. But from an NBA perspective, that's a pretty good group that's going in next September. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio WEEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.